The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Can we give Jesus the praise this morning? Let's give Him the glory. Let's give Him the honor. Let's worship Jesus. Let's worship Him. Father, we give you thanks. Jesus, we give you all the praise. We honor you this morning. We thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you for the activity of your spirit in the hearts of your people. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the atmosphere of love. We thank you for the atmosphere of deep affection and passion. Passion to see your face. Passion to touch you, to know you more. We are grateful, God. We thank you for the lines that you have sent to us this weekend. We thank you because we are not remaining the same again. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a season of breakthroughs in the spirit. It's a season of conversion. It's a season of change. So God, we give you thanks. Well, thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving this generation. Thank you for opening your heart to us. Thank you for making us beneficiaries of your mercies. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. We are grateful, Jesus. We'll give you all the glory. Lord, we receive mercy for this morning. I ask that you help me. You anoint my lips. You grant me grace to bring forth your counsel. I wait upon you, God, this morning. Relying upon you. Waiting on your spirit. Waiting on your word. Thank you, Jesus, for breath. Thank you for breath. Thank you for your breath. Your breath that is coming upon our hearts. I give you glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we give Jesus praise? It's been a wonderful time in God's presence, and I've just had a lot has been said. This meeting has its own unique dimension, and like every meeting does, a singles meeting, but we also have to pay attention to some measure of doctrine while we are looking to see how we can apply into context of single life. And we have said that single life is not limited to you being unmarried. Can we all say amen? Amen? All right. I know every single is always looking forward to that time where they get married. Hallelujah. But you must marry the Lord first. Praise God. What did I say you must do? All right. Yes. You would not do too well when you get married, when you have not laid on certain stuff. When you're unmarried. And in the kingdom of God, like we said, there's an estate that we should all occupy and stay in, faithful to we see our Lord. Can we all say amen? Amen. All right, even our own marriage in the earth is still a type of the real marriage between the Lamb and His wife. So everything we do here is on transition. It's a transitory face that we have until we come into the permanent that is in God. Can we say amen? Amen. All right, let's see John 1. Let me see how the Lord will help us today. the Gospel according to John, the Father's original intention was that the earth will be a school of life. So the concept of schooling did not begin from the fallen world. God designed the earth as a school of his life. All right? The whole earth is supposed to be a school where God's life will be taught to man. And God's life will be lived and expressed. The beauty of God shall be expressed. That's why God put the earth. So the whole earth should be a school of God. Can we all say amen? When the Lord put the garden, planted the garden eastward of Eden, what God had in mind was that he had a place where he would come fellowship with man, unveil himself to man, that over time man acquiring his life, man can now begin to demonstrate the originality of his life on the earth. So it has always been living out God's life on the earth. Can we all say amen? It can't be short of that. I also want to say that reality is what Jesus came to restore in the New Testament. It's man knowing God. It has always been about man knowing God. Man learning God. Man acquiring God. It's about man giving expression to the nature of God. Can we all say amen to that? So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of father and sons. Can we all say that? Let's say that again. The new covenant, all right, which prophets called in the Old Testament as the everlasting covenant, is a covenant of fathers and sons. It is the kingdom revolves around that. The whole Bible revolves around that. It's fatherhood and sonship. So the purpose of giving of life is to raise sons, is the begatting of sons. When we say life, we mean genesis, genetics of God. What did I say life is? Genes, God. Life is the giving of God's genes to a people that will own God by genetic infusion. They will own God. They will inherit God because they have been fully begotten of his life. You know, I like this design I'm seeing here. Very beautiful design. I don't know who designed it, but must be a creative person. I like the DNA stuff I'm seeing, and I see blood. And I understand that this is the blessing of the Father. The blessing of the Father is the blessing of you inheriting his genes. When you say Father, what the Father wants to give us is his life. Can we all say amen? Amen. There is nothing that the Father can do in us or give us beyond what he is. The Father's life is the blessing. What did I say the Father's life is? Oh, can we all say amen to that? So I can't come into blessing until I have come into the full attainment of life. Full attainment of life is actually coming into blessing. Blessing that cannot be corrupted by any force in the universe. Blessing that describes the estate of God. God is blessed because God has life. Hallelujah. God is blessed because God is life. God is life. He is full of life. He cannot end having life. He is a well of life. Hallelujah. So that is his blessing. So the sharing of life is the giving of what makes God God to us. That is all what the kingdom of God is about. Can we all say amen? We have to track our ancestry into God. Our ancestry is in God. Our ancestry. And the day we begin to come into clear, this is one of the greatest warfare of man. Man not knowing his origin. That's one of the greatest warfare of spirits. Don't trace back your origin to God. Don't trace back the path to God. There's something called path to God. Satan and world to erase path on the earth so that getting back to God will be difficult even after you get born again. Because the new birth is the beginning of a journey. You may never discover the path to God even after you have gotten born again. There are major warfare to erase paths that can make man become into the estate of God. So the greatest warfare of Christianity is the warfare of recovering parts of how man can get to God. How can man journey back to that estate? Can we say amen? Hallelujah. How many of you know that before we came forth, we had originally dwelt in God? That is where we all come from. Can we all say amen? You are not from anywhere. You are from God. Your origin is from God. Someone said, I am black, I am white, I am whatever. All those are just the demonstration of your appearing on earth. Our original abode was in God. Can we all say amen? God, who has been our dwelling from ages past, in generations. God has been our dwelling before time began. We are all in the womb of God. We all have connection to God. Every man on earth has connection to God. Either they like it or not, either they believe it or not, they are wired to know God. They are wired to live out God. They have something in them that can never be satisfied except it is what? Except God is revealed to them. I can't hear you say amen. That's why Christianity is not a religion. It is redefining man. I call it regenesis. Regenetic is a regenetic composition of man the way God wants man. It's not a religion. We have a message that can transform the whole world. Jesus is the head of a new human species. Oh, you are not saying amen. I said, Jesus is the head of a new human species. He's the head of a new human race. It's not about a religion. It's about a race. It's about a generation. God's mind is that God wants to raise a generation of those that he will call his people. Glory to God. His people. And he will be their God. So it is not about one religion. It is not about one, religion is a construct of Satan to blind man from God's original purpose for man. God wants man. Amen. I didn't want to say God was a Christian, so you'll not be angry with me. What God wants is man. Some of the religion that we have made of Christianity has even made it difficult for God to pass his own message to man. The people that fought Jesus more were the Pharisees. They were the former move in their day. There were a sect that rose to protect the law. And it was a good motive. For 400 years, there was no prophet between Malachi and John. And they rose to protect all the law of Moses. That's a good thing. But by the time the fulfillment of the law came, they were the first people that wanted to kill it. They lost relevance. They lost sight. They could not interpret the purpose of God. So the purpose of God came and they killed it. What I'm saying is that most of the assaults that the enemy has brought against the advance of truth has been from the church. And we need to come into an understanding that what God wants is a man. He is looking for a man that will be full of him. He is looking for men. Everybody say God is looking for a man. So that's why God's gift to man is Jesus. And Jesus is a gift of God to us. And he embodied God as a man. Glory to God. So God, in blessing man, gave us a man that embodied him. That is the message. The message is that man can carry God. Man can inherit all of the genes of God. And share of God's life. So our life is not just for God. It's for man. I say high life. High life is for man. The reason why Jesus came to the earth is to show you that man can live high life. Jesus was an high man. Oh, glory to God. He was a man that lived, demonstrated in the body how high life, the highest expression of God's life, can be lived on the earth. And Jesus lived it for us to see it. So everlasting life can be lived on the earth. It can be demonstrated as nature. I used to say that God is a God of nature. God is not spooky. God is not a spiritist. God is a nature God. God believes in essence of nature. It means the ideology of God is the life of God will be natural. Life of God will be natural. Seen in how we live and conduct ourselves on the earth. God wants to see a race of new species of men that have their origin in the Son of God. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So let's see John. Hallelujah. The gospel according to John. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Can we all say amen? And without Him was not what? Anything made that was made. So our Lord, the Word, which became flesh, is the source code for creation. Meaning anything that you see in the visibility had patterns in Him. The Word of God is the architect for creation. So anything you see, the beauty, the expression of what we see in creation, all has a source code in Him. Colossians call Him that He is the beginning of all things. Hallelujah. There's no way we can talk this and not refer to our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything the Father did was to raise a son. One son. And He has succeeded. So once you succeed in raising one son, let the son duplicate himself in others. Can we all say amen? So we have to look at this. So the Son of God is the work of the Father. What did I say? Say that one more time. The Son of God is the investment, first investment of high life. He was the one that became the first project of high life. And He is the pattern for high life. Glory to God. I say this, and I say Jesus is the pattern for everything. You know, even me, I'm trying every day. I know a lot of people look up to me, but I have not matched up to the standard. Oh, this man is too fine. This Son of God is too good. He is a complete man in every sense of it. You can't flaw Him in any area. I believe that what Jesus attained can be attained by man. Oh, you are not saying amen. I said I believe that what Jesus attained can be attained by man. Because everything Jesus did, He did as man. He did as man. Telling us that you can become like me in all things. Hallelujah. So He is the image of the invisible God. Take me there. He is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. The first prototype. Of every creature. Thank you. For by Him all things were what? Created. That are in heaven. And that are where? In earth. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. So these are different expressions of men in the present heaven. All of them have their source code in our Lord, who was the Word. Can we say amen? Can we all say Word? Say it again. Word. So All of the beings in the Godhead, they all have DNA of life. They are all life beings. Life beings. Now it says all things were created for him. Next verse, please, before I go back to John. And he is before what? All things. And by him, all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. Can we all say amen? Amen. So, the entity of the world is full of life. Take me back to John. What the world has is life. The same life that flows in God flows in the world. Then it says, in him was life. In him was life. It doesn't have anything. In him was life. What he shares with the Father is DNA of life. In him was life. And the life was the what? Light of man. So the life was the school of man. So God's idea is that man will go to school on earth. Earth was the school. To understudy life. Now, what we have is a falling school. All the schools we have, I'm not saying don't go to school, amen. Praise God. You need to go to school. But I'm saying that all the schools we have, they are falling schools for earthly profession. Because the purpose of life is for profession. What did I say is the purpose of life? Life must be professed. That's the idea. And the reason why God created man was for man to profess his life. Because God in himself, God in themselves, they had life. God did not bring forth man out of boredom. God brought forth man because of love to share life. Part of the nature of God is the desire to share. It is coded in their DNA. They wanted to see the expression of their life in man. So you can see that God's idea of the earth, of creating the earth as a space, was for his life to be understood and lived out. I just wondered what the world would have been if man did not fall. But it would have been a world where men were learning life. Just think about how life would be. If the world is not falling, we don't need many things that we have today. Amen. We don't need many things that we have today. Just think about everything about life on earth to just be about knowing God. That was what the writer of Ecclesiastes was saying, the whole duty of man. That man was supposed to pay duty to attending to God. And that would be something that can sustain man forever. Can we all say amen? Amen? So the study of life is not something that you can reach his hand. Life is a forever thing. Because life is the study of God. Amen. So you can never exhaust God. What if God? Can we say amen? Amen. So in him was life. Can we all say life? So this is I life. Hallelujah. I life is life that is in God. In him was life. So life is the inheritance of God to man. Life is the inheritance of God to man. Life is the gift of God to man. Life is the gift of God to man. Life is the blessing of God to man. Life is the high calling of God for man. The highest calling is not to become anything on earth, but to partake of life that is in God. So your calling is not anything that the world can give. I'm saying this so that you don't feel bad when you don't have things here on the earth. When you don't have certain estates. Some people say when you don't have some things at 40, you are a failure. I'm past 40. I don't have many things that the world. But I have a house I'm living in. Either it's my own or it's not my own. It does not make any difference. I'm not carrying any house out of this earth. As long as I can get a good car to move me, I'm okay. Either it's my own or it's not my own, but I can use it. At will, there's no problem. Let's go on and get life.
Yes, sir.
You see, all your worries on the head is based on false definition of life.
Yes, sir.
Right now, why are you feeling bad? Because you don't have something the world has told you is life. Anything that is not in God is a lie. When I mean a lie, I'm not talking. Lies are things that are passing away. Vanity, things that you cannot connect your roots back in God. They're a lie. So you can now see how Satan has weaved lie as life. And making people feel, when you see people's problem today, Pastor, that they have a problem. This is the problem of a lie. That you are believed. Particularly this generation, we don't know more than money. Money is our problem. It's one of our major. Now, I'm not saying we don't need money. But I'm saying that for you is a problem. Am I lying? You know, I'm pastoring you. I know you. Even students are. My son is 16. They're already thinking of money. Their generation. That's why they don't want to read. They just feel that reading is a long way. Because you have seen many of their influencers. They call them influencers. Someone that cannot speak good English. He's making 20 million naira in a month. Because he has content. He has content. They're just wondering, that, why are you stressing us? So there is a false design on the earth that has misinterpreted what life is. Or attainment of life. So I'm telling you that your calling, your highest calling as a man is to attain life in God. Anything short of that is another life. Is another path. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
And earlier you understand that, the better. It means you start your journey early. Ecclesiastes 12 was saying that. It says, remember your creator when you are young. It means you should use your strength to pursue life. Can we all say amen? Well, I'm not getting good response from you.
Amen.
I want to just bring the message down. You need to use your strength to pursue life. You can still stay hours inside meeting. If Reverend Musu said we should meet from 7:30 to 7, it should not be a problem. As a young person, that should be a normal thing. I am shocked when I see young people cannot endure doctrine. What are you using your life for? That you cannot endure doctrine. You don't understand? That is when, and when you now see old people now, older people in natural years, and they are giving themselves to God, they're now wondering. You should be challenged. There's one Baba in Ilorin until like 82. That Baba doesn't miss meeting. And you will see him engaging doctrine. You will see him while you are teaching. He's not sleepy. He's not dozing. He's old. I say, what kind of man is this? I say, God is helping you.
Yeah.
Say, study of life. Shout it out. Say, study of life. Is the whole duty of man. Now, take me back to that, John. So, in him was life. And the life was the what? Light of men. The life was the light of men. Was the school of men. So God has school in mind. It's just that his own school is for the purpose of giving you his life. Because you can't have his life without learning it. You have to learn that life. I will focus on that in a moment. Learning life. Everybody say learn. You must learn life. So even the first man in the garden had to learn life. He had to commune with God, fellowship with God, to learn God's life. He needed to learn God's life by the unveiling of God's commandments. Pastor Thompson labored on that yesterday. God's life is tied to his commandments. Can we all say that? So I cannot have. There are laws. You see, the DNA of God is a flow of life that are tied to commandments. You cannot break into God's life without access to his laws. All right? The laws of God are what holds life. Eh? They keep his life. They secure his life. So God himself is a being of laws. Is a being of commandments. Eh? When you see, laws are weaved as life in God. And so to access the genetic makeup of God, the laws of God must be revealed to you. Can we all say amen? Amen. That's what Ecclesiastes 12 was saying. It says, fear God. And what? And yeah, the conclusion of the whole matter. I like the word, not just matter, it's the whole matter. Whole matter, whole counsel of God. Yeah, the conclusion of the whole matter. It took a wise man to say this. And I tell you, you don't need to go through Solomon's route to come to this conclusion. You'll be a fool to do that. All right? Because this man had everything that a natural man, I don't think there's anything a natural man wants to have that he did not have. Up till now, they are trying to calculate Solomon's wealth. Up till now, I think one of the brothers in our church did it and was saying that he's still the richest ever on the earth. They are still trying to, I think there's the latest research on it. His wealth. I don't think there's any building on the earth that has defeated that building in build, because it was built of pure gold. I'm still looking for any building that was built like that. In the days of Solomon, people could access gold. Not just Solomon. People, you don't understand. It's like everybody could access. Imagine all of us in Ondoye, Akonsha Godileli. That's how it was in the days of Solomon. We have never seen that kind since that time. God deliberately used Solomon as a prototype to make nonsense of vanity. So that man will not want to. It's time to. Don't go after that. Because when Jesus came, he said, greater than Solomon is here. And Jesus was not giving physical gold, but he was giving gold of life. Showing you that the real gold is life. So trying to pursue gold is just a waste of time. We need to let the Gen Z's know that the greatest thing you can touch is life. Handle is life. So hear the conclusion of the old matter. Fear God. Fear God. You know that this is a prayer you must pray daily. That God, teach me to fear you. Now, you cannot even begin to fear God. You need the wisdom of Christ. Everything about Christ is to bring you to a place where you can begin to fear God. It means that, Pastor James, without learning Christ, the wisdom in Christ is just for one thing, to rearrange the soul and begin to teach the soul how to fear God. Flesh cannot fear God. So to fear God, there must be arranged the construct of your soul. You must have a heart that is tender. It takes a tender heart to begin to fear God. You must have a heart that Ezekiel called out of flesh. So it is a surgical work on the heart that rearranges the heart to begin to fear God. Anything beyond that is not fear, is religious fear. You can't fear God. You can't fear a God that you don't know. You can't fear a God that you don't know. So the purpose of the learning of Christ is to take man from dust and begin to bring man into a world of interaction with God's light. When God begins to visit you with his light or his understanding on his knowledge, it begins to bring you to a place where you cannot begin to fear God. Proverbs call it, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That is God's wisdom. So you can't fear God except you are visited with light. Can we say amen? It takes the light of God to teach his fear. But it takes a heart that has been raised by the truth of Christ to come to a point where it can begin to fear God. No wonder Isaiah 66 says, this is what the prophets thought. Isaiah 66. Thank you. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where is the place of my rest. So can you see the heart desire of God? Can we say house? Can we say rest? Say it again. Say house. Can we say rest? So we know that this is what God wants from man. Let me say that to you. Get it clearly. What God wants from you, build me a house. He doesn't want anything from you. He doesn't really want your offering. You know the way you say, God does not really need your offering. God can run projects on the head if you don't drop money. Don't say, it's when I give to God that I'm finding my purpose. When I begin to sponsor the gospel. God does not need you to sponsor his gospel. Believe me. If God needs, God can just be getting money from Gentiles. They will be dropping the money if you don't give it. Do you know that? So what God wants from man is to give him a place of rest. Nothing more. Where is the place of my rest? For all those things have I made. All those things have been shared a lot. But to this man will I look. So you can see. To him that is what? Poor. And of what? A contrite spirit. So when the father begins to look to man. Look to man or look at man. Is when a man arrives at what? At brokenness and contriteness of heart. Because now God begins to consider you as a place for rest. A place of rest is a place for high life. Glory to God. Because high life is God life. So a place of rest is where high life can find full expression. Currently, heaven cannot even contain that life. God humbled himself to stay in heaven. The raw energies of God's life cannot find the expression in that space called heaven. God needs an habitation that only man can give him. It's only man that can give him. It's only a people that can give him that place where he will rest. Where God will be at home. Everybody wants home. Everybody. There is no place like home. Except you have a bad home. No place you will go on the earth. You'll always want to come home. Why? Home is where you are at nature. You are the most natural. God wants to be at what? At home with man. So, who are those that God is considering to give high life? Those that are poor and contrite. So, and tremble. You don't get here except they have used wisdom to raise you. And because you have a former, what the enemy did was that Satan worked in man what I call a genetic perversion. Sin is genetic. Sin is also at home with us. Satan did not make sin what you do. Satan made sin what you are. So it's difficult to change who you are. Because sin became what? Our gene. Satan injected sin and began to refather us. Refather man. Sin nature in man is a denature of God's original purpose for man. So it's difficult for man to break away from sin except the declaration of a new hope that man can be like God is. This is what Jesus brought. Jesus brought a message of hope, a message of change, a message of change of genealogy, a message of change of your genes, that now inwardly I can serve and love God. Because sin nature in us makes it difficult to ever come into a place where you are even contrite. The laws of sin and death reshaped the frame of man. Made him contrary to God. Made him contrary to God. Made him not interested in God. You don't understand what I'm saying. It is unnatural for man not to long for God. It is unnatural. It is sin that did that. You were designed for nothing but to love God. You were designed for nothing but to pursue God. So when you see people not responding to God, when you say God, they are not interested. At times, even in an environment of truth, the thing is not really, 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 really pushing you. You know that thing that is not making you see God as your whole life.
God, worthy of all your love, all your energy, all your pursuit. That thing is called sin. And it's a genetic arrangement of the heart, making it difficult to see God as life. So really, when you come to church, you do church things. But when you go to the world, you see, that is real life. So somebody can walk. He can walk from morning till night for what he calls life. He will struggle to give anything to God. Because for as far as he's concerned, God has not become what? A life worthy to what? Pursue. What is responsible for that? The sin. And sin is genetics. So when you want to deal with genetics, you introduce another one. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus is the beginning of new genetic, I call it genetic engineering. To begin to re-engineer sin, take off sin genes from our soul, and begin to what? Walk in us from inside to respond to God. You cannot respond to God if it's not from your inside. If there's no force on your inside that compels you to long for God, you cannot go for too long. You need God to rewire you from inside. So God is saying, these are the ones I will look, him that is poor. It takes a wisdom to make you poor. All of us are rich somewhere. Even someone that does not have money. We have all kinds of riches. I used to see some people that don't have money, but they are rich, sir. You don't know me? You don't know me? It's nothing, though. You don't know me? We have riches. So there's a wisdom to empty man of his riches, make him poor. Meaning he will see everything as nothing. And he begins to come into a place where he's desperate for true riches in God. So that says, you must be poor. And be what? Of a contrite spirit. And tremble at my word. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So this is the man that God is looking for to begin to teach his light, to give him his life. So God originally created men to seek him. The first man in the garden was naturally a God seeker. He wanted nothing but God. However, that journey was intercepted, we know, by a more wiser enemy. Satan would have been more wiser for him to have stopped the journey of that man. I used to wonder how man was, how Adam was, what kind of man he was. But looking at Jesus, you can see Adam. Looking at Jesus, you can see Adam. It means that they were around the same space in the spirit. Can we say amen? So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And what the light was shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So the coming of life was to bat men. Was to just raise a generation. So life is for the raising of a generation. What generation of who? Generation of the Father. Because God wanting to father children or give back to sons was what made them step out of eternity into time. You cannot, God wouldn't have been able to father if he stood in the realm of eternity. All right? So God stepping out of eternity, creating a space called time, creating the heavens and the earth, was for the purpose of fathering men. Can we say amen? So it was fatherhood that moved God to enter into creation. So creation was a project to make God actualize his dream of having sons. Glory to God. That is where you and I come in. We exist just for one thing, to be God's sons. I can't hear you. Amen.
Amen.
That is why you are living. You are living just for one thing, to bear witness to his life. That is why you were created. That was the true light, which lighted every man that came into the world. Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I like this. Everybody say the true light. You are not answering me. Oh. That lighted every man that came into the world. So that means that in every this light that Jesus is and brought to us and became is what designed every soul. So every soul has a destiny to become true. I like the word. It says, this was the true light, which lighted every man. Can we say every man?
Every man.
You are not answering me.
Every man.
You see, brethren, when I see the gospel, I see all men. Pastor James, this message is for all men. It's all men that God is calling to be sons, not a sect. All men, Muslims, Buddhists, politicians, think about entertainers. They are all destined to be sons of God.
Yes,
and all of them, before they came, there was a light that coded them. It's just like you are doing a product and you go through online. They swap you. So they swap you that, see, the greatest thing you can attain is to know God. That is why you can never be satisfied as a man until you know God. Because he's God, there's the lies that God is, was what shaped the soul of every man. Look at it. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Everybody say every man. Say it again, no? So there is no man that entered into this world without going through the scanning of this true light. So meaning that they are supposed to come into the head to discover him. So head is a place of discovering who God is. Head is a place of adventure to know God. Because they brought you here to know him. The only reason why we are on head is to know God. We are to discover him here. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Everybody say power. So what is power? Life. He gave them power to become sons of God. Sons of God. So the giving of life is the empowerment for sonship. So that's why your sonship is tied to life attainments. As you increase in life, you increase in the ladder of sonship. Power there is revelation of life. Power is giving of life. Can we all say amen? Oh, I can't hear you say amen. So he gave them power. Everybody say power. Understanding of how to walk in life. Of how to grow in life. To become sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. So we know that Jesus Christ has names. But the highest of that name is the name of his Father. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Jesus has names from toe to head. Jesus is a tower of names. But the highest name he inherited was the name of his Father. So they are saying that the highest power is the power that can give you the Father's life.
Hallelujah.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
So we know that there is Holy Ghost, there's Son, and there's the Father. They are all measurement of life. It's one life, but in phases. So you don't come into all attainment of life without coming into all the revelation of his name. So you have to believe on his name. That is the name that what? Gives you the fullness of his life. And that life must be walked in you as nature. Hallelujah. So, but many has received his name, he gave them what? Power to become sons of God. Even to them that were believing on his name, which were what? Born. Can we say born? So the purpose of power is for birthing. Power is for birthing. Understanding is for birthing. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? Of God. So when you are going to come into all of the blessing of life, You must have been born from this thing. Meaning, no will of man will be part of your birth. It's not birthed by the will of man. It's not birthed by the power of the flesh or the strength of the corruptible life. It's not even birthed by blood. So nothing of human constitution, nothing of man, nor the strength of man will be a composition of sons of God. Sons of God can only be traced to God. No matter where you grow up from, no matter your lineage, what you'll be known for will just be DNA of life. So process of birthing is what delivers you from your former life. What makes you up are your former genes. Your genes are your things. What did I say your genes are? Yeah, you are who you are because of your nature. And some of us, we struggle with natures that we inherited. They are inheritances. I've met all kinds of people in my life as a pastor. I see, and you, when you look at, then I understand the power of Jesus in ability to save people. You meet some people and you know that their nature is beyond them. It didn't start with them. They inherited it. But it's embarrassing them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You met hunger in the family. And it has embarrassed you severally. You know, hunger is not, you have it. And you met it. At times when you check some of the things that your nature, you check your parents, check your siblings, check your cousins. Nature is given to you not because you chose it. Jifa, I even discovered, Pastor James, that we even have tribal natures. There are times, if you are from Igbo land, you have Igbotic nature. Yeah. There was a time I had to explain to my wife when relating with some of our Igbo brothers. I said, it's not like they are like, that thing you are seeing in her is a tribal inheritance. Many of them don't even know that they are like that. I had a doctor that had one issue with a husband. It was a serious issue, you know, Igbo and Yoruba tribe. The guy did not understand. You know, Yoruba tribe, naturally, we grow in a setting of some kind of respect. And at times, you're just expecting that this lady will give you the respect. She doesn't understand respect, sir. Her own understanding is that as I see her, I go talk her. So they were having issues, a lot of issues, until doctrine began to reshape nature. So some marital problems are because of natural inheritance, tribal inheritance. Because you are part of a tribe, you have a nature. If you are from certain kind of town, you have a nature. They say, oh, you're Ayomole. So you just find that you are from a tribe. You just find that you see some nature, DNA strands that are because you are part of a tribe. At times, it may not even be because you grew up there physically. The genes are so strong. Grow up in America, you have that nature. So sin is very genetic. And at times, evil spirit even programs sin nature to tribes. To people. That's why redemption is not complete. I said they redeem you from your kindred, your tribe, your tongue. They will redeem you from your people. They will call you out from your country. They will save you from your tribe. When they look at you, they will see nothing that is Yoruba in nature. You are a complete spirit. So becoming sons of God, born to be sons of God, means we are delivered from some kind of sonship, some kind of association with perverted genes of sin. So Jesus came to deliver us and give us hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. We can't talk high life without deliverance from darkness. Romans 5. Thank you. Take me to verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned by one. Look at that. Can we say death reigned? So you can't stop the reign of death because sin gave death a throne for reigning. So if you want to break the reign of death, you have to break the hold of sin. Can we all say amen? Much more, they which what receive abundance of grace. Can we all say abundance of grace? I can't hear you. And of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life. So this reigning in life is not reigning on, you know, you say you are reigning life. You are not reigning if you don't, you are not reigning over sin and death. So this reign is a complete breaking away from mortality. From anything. When I mean mortality, I'm talking about anything associated with the former genes of man that are mutable. So you cannot reign except you are fully delivered from the laws of sin and death. Reign in life. So high life is actually reigning life. It's a life that reigns completely over sin and death. Shall reign in life by one. Hallelujah. So the message Jesus brought through his Father is a message to reign over sin and death. Man can reign. You can reign. What does it mean to be lean? You are not susceptible to the laws of corruption. You live by another life. So shall reign by one. That one is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was the first man that reigned. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For as one man's disobedience, many were what? Made sinners. Many were made sinners. I like that word, made. So, Satan took advantage of the hair and began to make sinners. Make men sinners. To make men sinners, the first thing you need to do, make sin their life. Inject them with life. Make sin their life. Make a sinful world their hope and aspiration. Cut off God completely. So, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, can we shout, amen? Shall what? Many. So keep seeing many. Can we say many?
Many?
So this thing is a generational thing. It's a race thing. God wants many to be made righteous. This is not many to be getting born again. Many to be made sons of God. To be made righteous is to inherit high life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17. If any man is in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are new. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
This is not supposed to just be for your spirit. It should be for your soul. There should be all things new in my soul. What did I say? Look at verse 18. Thank you. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I like the word ministry of reconciliation. It's the declaration of God's light. It takes light to reconcile man fully to God. The original light that is in God is the only light that can reconcile man fully to God. There's this place I'm looking for there. Take me to verse 20. So it says righteousness. It says made righteous. Now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech us, you by us. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. For what? He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be what? Made. Everybody say made. Everybody say made. Made the righteousness of God in him. So to be made righteous is to be made a son of God. Is to be made a son of God. A son inheriting God's life. Hallelujah. So the new birth is the beginning of making. When you say somebody is made righteous, he has gone from just believing. He has come to a place of knowing God. Hallelujah. So the righteous there, the men that will be made righteous are sons of God that are partaking of his life. Take me back to Romans chapter 5. So many shall be made righteous. Many shall be. So this is the vision of the Father for man, for us, is that many be made. So what is the template of making men righteous? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God is the model of righteousness. Is the standard of righteousness. Is the pattern for righteousness. So, the Son of God is now who we are looking up unto to pattern our life after. That as He is, so are we. So wherever the Lord entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did what? Abound more. How many of you believe, love this scripture? Take me back there. Everybody say, grace abound more. There is no time on the earth there's no time in the history of humanity that has been this dark in terms of depravity of man. It means that God has a provision for us. The provision is that there will abound grace. They will open the vista of grace. Eh? For where sin abounded, everybody says sin abounded. Grace what? Much more abound. Everybody say grace. What is this grace? Eh? Is the appearing of light. Is the appearing of light. It is the visitation of light. Grace is the economy of Jesus to bring understanding of his life. When we say grace, grace is empowerment to walk as he walked, live as he lived, conversed on the earth in the midst of corruption as he did. Grace is the announcement of the reign of life. So when grace is abounding more, they're saying life will reign. Life will reign. So no matter how dark the world is, grace as solution to make men abound and reign in life. I'm so excited. So there is hope for you. I said there is hope for you. There is hope for your children. There is hope for your children's children. So I'm seeing the next 50 years full of grace. I'm seeing the next 100 years, if the Lord tarries, full of greater grace. I'm seeing life flow from one generation to the other. Jesus reigning and reigning and reigning. So nothing can stop the abounding of life. But where sin abounded, in fact, the way it works is that when sin abounds, sin is the one that now helps the abounding of grace. Satan is working to create evil. That work he's doing is helping God. Because that's how God will give more. God will top up. Okay, they have abundant sin. Let's give them more grace. So now it means that to us, a weaker generation has more access to grace. Abba. We are going to walk in righteousness. It means that the level of grace that was not accessible in other generations, because sin did not abound much, we will have access to it. So you are going to be granted more help. My brother Pastor Thompson said that to you yesterday. You'll be granted more help. I said righteousness will be easy. Faith will be easy. Holiness will be easy. New life will be easy. Why? Grace is going to abound. Now what is abounding grace? The preaching of life everlasting. It's the preaching of grace. There's no gospel without grace. Grace is the preaching of God. Opening of understanding. No wonder there is so much understanding. It is because much help is coming to us. Hallelujah. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Amen. Teaching us that. Never say teaching. So grace is a teacher of life. It's an instructor of holiness. It's a teacher of how a man can be justified. Justified by faith in Christ and also glorified. So grace also teaches how to be glorious. Grace teaches how to be saved. Grace teaches how to know life. Teaching us that. Denying ungodliness. So how will I deny ungodliness? Grace will teach me. Because ungodliness was not my original life. It was a life sold by the devil to man as life. But we'll be retaught. I said we'll be retaught. I said you are being retaught. You will be taught someone that sin will be very ugly. You will be taught someone that death will look very ugly. When there is abounding grace, sin loses its attractiveness. Sin becomes ugly. It becomes, you see, the vanity in sin. The lust that Satan weaved around sin and the world will now lose relevance. Why? Grace has brought light. Glory to God. I'm so excited. Hallelujah. I see so much empowerment coming. The Lord said, proclaim the reign of grace. Proclaim the reign of grace. You know, there's this song trending on. A lot of people were attacking that song. They said people are just dancing. I don't see it that way. I see that you are confessing it. What you confess, you will do. So, if you sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, you will follow Jesus. You will not turn back. Because you have sung the song. Jesus has heard it as prayer. So even when you are dancing a song and it's the dance that you like, you know, there's this dance that dance. No, no. I can never know. No. Oh, Lila Simoko, don't she? But God will take your word as prayer. I said, God is taking your word as prayer. I prayed some prayer when I was a teenager. I did not even know the import of the prayer. And God answered. And when I was going through some difficult times in my life, God told me, you know, you prayed this prayer. When I was 18, I prayed a prayer. I said, God, never leave me. Never leave me until you have perfected all concerns my life. Corner me. I prayed some prayer, dangerous prayers. I said, corner me, Lord. Do not let me have my way. Never let me have my way. And God heard the prayer. So all of them say, I have decided. They say, I have decided, Abi. I have decided. They not say, I am thinking. I have decided. So that decision, they have stamped it in heaven. Now, after you say you follow Jesus, the next is that you will carry your cross. And you will love the cross. So if you dance the dance, you will walk the walk.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we're a generation of faith. For I believe. I believe that there is an harvest. I believe that Jesus will take the earth. I believe. Why? Grace will abound. There's another song. They say we'll be many. Yes, we'll be many. Sons of God will be many. Eternal life will be many. Everlasting life will be many. Pastor James will not be few. We cannot be few. Because this is God, Father and sons. The kingdom of God is about Father and sons. We cannot be few. Believe me, eternal life is going everywhere. Oh, either the devil likes it or not, the message of eternal life will go from coast to coast, city to city, village to village, everywhere. Yeah, life for everyone. High life for everyone. High life for everyone. Nothing can stop it. Nothing. No devil can stop it. Sir, this thing is even beyond us. We are just aligning with God. This is God's work. We are just aligning with God. We are not even helping Him. He is helping us. So I don't see myself as helping God. I'm helping myself. But this is God's project. It's beyond any man. Sir, this work, his headquarters is not on earth. This work, there's no place on earth that is the headquarters. The headquarters is in God. All of us are just embassies. Thank you, sir. God is the one, is his work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what we're saying about grace abounded much more. So we're in the season of abounding grace. That's one of the things the Lord told me this year. He said, you have entered a season where grace will abound. So we are going to have more breakthrough into life thoughts. Life thoughts, life thoughts, life thoughts. Breakthrough. You don't know what breakthrough is. Breakthrough in life thoughts just changes you. There are some things that you just drop instantly. When you have, Kai! There are some kind of thoughts that when you have them, you cannot become a normal person anymore. You will sell all you have. Meaning you will drop everything that is an hindrance. You will follow the Lord passionately. You don't know all those apostles when they encountered Jesus. You don't know what they heard. Follow me. It was power. Power of high life. Follow me. The Bible says that they left there immediately. Immediately. Power. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. These were men that had lucrative businesses. They were following Jesus up and down. Power. That's the power of a man that had high life. The old head was under his command. And I said, that life is not just for one man, it's for many. Many. Jesus did not just live it, the apostles lived the life. Look at powerful men, look at how they lived. They wrote letters that we have not been able to crack of almost 3,000 years. What kind of men wrote them? Fisherman? You call Peter a fisherman? Can you understand two epistles of Peter? That one is not a fisherman. It's a fisher life. Hey! Those are men that followed Jesus. Jesus made them. They became vessels of life. Vessels of glory. So grace is abounding more. Give me the next verse. So that our sin reigned unto death. That sin reigned unto death. Even so might what? Grace. Grace reign through righteousness. So how? Through righteousness. Through revelation of righteousness. So this is revelation of everlasting righteousness. So this righteousness is full revelation of righteousness that can birth sons of God. Sons that can inherit the full genes of the Father. Why? It is what? Through righteousness unto eternal life. By what? Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe it's everlasting. Can we say amen? Amen. At times everlasting life is rendered eternal. Yeah, because everlasting life is the beginning of eternal life. Can we all say amen? Amen. So revelation of righteousness there are the light to birth genetics of the Father in us. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. So let's see the process and I'll round up. Let's see the process of the activity of light. So, the life of the beginning must be made bare to make sons of that life. So, the beginning, which is the origin, that life must be made very real to us. Can we say amen? I'm already seeing it happening, but I believe that God is going to keep showing us this thing. We must see the DNA of life clearly. Very clearly. Because it's easier to reproduce what you see. So that's what you see. You are seeing, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So we need to hear more. Can we say amen? Yeah. We should not be tired of hearing. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
You will hear till you become.
Amen.
Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. We hear them, we have sight. We can introspect into the ancient life of the beginning. We can sight. Meaning we can understand this trance. You can see that, you can understand the architecture of life. It becomes very visible to you. In our sense that, which you have looked upon and our what? Hands have handled of the word of life. So the destiny of life is to be professed. That is what life wants. Life wants to be professed. Professing of life is what sons is all about. Sonship is about what? Professing life. For life was manifested and we have seen it. And what? bear witness. So this thing is not just to be the confession or reality of apostles or the writer of this epistle. It is the calling of sons of God, of the church. In fact, the reason why they wrote the epistle is so that their experience will become not something that is only between the fellowship of the Father and Son, which John was part of. But John wanted that fellowship to be expanded, to bring in many others. Can we all say amen? But life was manifested and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show you what? That eternal life, which was what? With the Father. All right? And what manifested to us? With the Father. That life, high life, with the Father. And was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. So you can see. So the purpose of the preaching is to want someone many to partake of the life. So God wants many sons. I just want you to understand this. That which you have seen and heard, we declare unto you. So declaration, or the declaration of life, is what precedes the finding of the path to life. Because this path has been hidden, fought by Satan. The message of life, I don't know any man. Go on through church history. This is the message that Satan has fought most. You may not even find it in a generation. For us to have people preaching it is a lot of mercy. That you may what? Fellowship with a horse. Fellowship with a horse. And truly our fellowship is what? With the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So this was John as what? A bearer of life. Declaring life. Calling many to partake of that life. And the things that what? We write unto you. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. So we come into life in measures. What did I say? But full life is high life. So the high life is actually life that has become full. So the declaration of the message of life is to make men full of life. So this is then the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that what? God is light. And in him there is what? No darkness at all. Referring you back to that message. John 1. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of man. So you can see, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Light is what gives his life. This, I've been saying it for a while. The message cannot leave your mouth. You know, this message is only going to get more amplified. So God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with light and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now this is it, brethren. To be sons of God, it means that everything that is not inherent in his nature will have to go. And brethren, I'm saying this as a means of encouraging us to make our mind that we'll drop anything that is darkness. Because God also needs us to choose and buy into this world, into this project. Just by your will, saying, God, I am willing. I am willing to walk this walk with you. That any time light comes and exposes darkness, I will drop that darkness. Brother, let me tell you something. It's not difficult to drop darkness. Believe me. It's not difficult to leave certain sin habits. Just believe in light. And at times, light may need to come over a period of time for certain work of darkness to be undone. Does not mean that light is not working. I know many of us, particularly you, are always discouraged that there are certain things, it seems as if I cannot lift them. It's as if I'm struggling with them. I have some compassion in my heart. I can tell you, keep hearing. What did I say? I've never seen anything. I have seen people change, drop natures, difficult natures. But they had to believe. They fought to believe. one of your greatest assaults, one of the greatest assaults upon you is not to believe or to disconnect. If Satan can disconnect your heart, that is the end. If you can disconnect your heart from the message, disconnect your heart from your leaders, make you offended, that is all. This message is powerful. I know it. But Satan can, the power that Satan has is not over the message, but it's to what? Over the people. To make you not believe. For you to nod your head and not agree. For you to hear and you're not committed. For you to hear and you're not willing. So I want you to buy into this project. There is nothing more solid than the message of life. I am telling you, this is not just by revelation, by research. Go and do your research. Well, there is no message as powerful as the message of life. There is no message that is as powerful in terms of its precision. A message you can defend from Genesis to Revelation without having to struggle. You don't need to go to Bible school. Once they open the vistas of that life, you can defend it from every chapter of the Bible. And that message is originally designed to free man from sin. It's hardwired to make you. And what it's going to do is that it's going to give you so much light that you see the ugliness of sin. And then you'll join easily. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, the only reason you walk in darkness is that you have not what? Believed or agreed with the activity of light. He says what? We lie and do not the truth. If you do the truth, you'll be free. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
But if we walk in the light, can we say walk in the light?
Walk in the light.
Shout it out.
Walking
in light is walking in commandments. What light brings is commandments. When you walk in commandments, commandments untie you from the life of sin. Because sin is in us by nature. You need to break the covenant of sin in you by what? By agreement. By agreeing with light. When you walk in light, sin gradually loses its tie on your soul. When you are walking in light, you are cutting covenant gradually with life. And when you are cutting covenant with life, the strength of sin is losing its hold on your soul. So if we walk in light, if we walk as he is in the light, we have fellowship what? With one another. There's koinonia between us. There's no way you fellowship with him and remain the same. Go possible! You cannot meet him and you remain. You cannot. You know, when you meet him, you cannot go back the same way you came. It's not possible. One look of his face at you, you'll be convicted. One look. So, the purpose of light is to bring fellowship. Fellowship that makes you agree with the commandments of light. When you walk in light, you are disagreeing with darkness. When you walk in light, you are parting way with darkness. You are saying that I am not part of the genealogy of darkness. It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have access to ability to be turned or to be remitted from sin. No matter how the sin is, there is no sin that can overpower light. Can we say amen to that? There's no genetic expression of darkness in your soul that will not bow to the declaration of light. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, when light is shining, it exposes your darkness. When you agree with the darkness, they count it to you as an advantage. It means you are willing to be free from it. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. What? To forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can see that there is a connection between the coming of the kingdom and the remission of sins. Matthew chapter 6, our Father, who art in heaven. Are you with me? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Can we say thy kingdom come? Thy will be done where? I told you that's that will be done here in the body. As it is in heaven. Then I say, give us our what? Daily bread. Everybody say bread. So bread is light. Bread is life. Huh? Give us daily. So the next thing that the Father will give you after hallowing and submitting to his program, he will give you bread. Because his kingdom cannot come except he gives you his bread. Give us our daily bread. How many of you know that this one is not, it's not natural bread? Eh? Then it answers what? And forgive us our debts as we forgive. So the purpose of bread, hallelujah, is to clear debts. The purpose of bread, the bread of the kingdom, is for cleansing of what? Of debts. So this bread is the giving of light. John 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The Father's bread is the revelation of his what? Life that can free you from every debt. What is those debt? Sin. Sin. We know we are debtors to sin nature. Captive to sin nature. So the only solution is that the Father gives you bread. Everybody say bread. I'm not hearing you say bread. Take me to John. John 6. Start from verse 27. Labor not from the meat that perisheth. You know, Jesus said in chapter 4, verse 34. He says, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that what? Sent me. And to finish his work. Everybody say work. So the Father's business is his work. Eh? What did I say the Father's business is? And tied to that work is his bread. You cannot experience change without the Father's bread. The Father's bread is the energy of transformation. And bread is life. Can we all say amen? You need bread for healing. I had healing yesterday. Healing is accessing bread. It's walking in the understanding of light. Eh? So, bread. My meat is to do the will of him that sent my food, my bread, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It means that when they communicate bread, bread gives us commandments to walk in. When we walk in those commandments, what? We are being free or we are being healed. So Psalm 103 comes in first. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget all. Not forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Can we say amen? You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 68 that says, bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. What are those benefits? Bread. Give us our daily bread. Bless the Lord who daily loads us. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with what? Benefits. Benefits. Benefit. Even who? The God of our salvation. This is our Father. Hallelujah. Selah. Pause and meditate. Now look at it. No, next verse. We are coming back here. Even the God of our salvation, Psalm 68, He that is the what? God of our salvation. God of salvation. Is he that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongs what? Issues of death. NKJV says, escapes. Escapes from death. So you can see, it is the benefits that saves you from death. You cannot escape debt. Outside daily benefit. Everybody say daily bread. Is for escaping debt. You know, the traps of sin and debt. You need bread. So you can see Psalm 103. Who forgiveth all your iniquities? Who healeth all your diseases? Can we say amen? So these are activity of the Father's food in the soul. When you see Hall, it's the Father. The realm of Hall is the Father. If you want high life, all iniquity, all diseases will be taken care of. All genetically wired nature problems of sin in the soul will be taken care of. All traps of death will be destroyed. Who forgiveth all iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life? Look at it. From destruction. It takes the bread of God that came from heaven to redeem a life from destruction. Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things? These are good things of God. Why? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. So that thy youth, this is everlasting strength. When you say eagle, you're talking about everlasting life. Eagle is a being bearing witness to everlasting life on earth. A type of it. They just put it there as an example. Eagles can live close to 90 years on the earth. Ancient beings. Some men today have degenerated lower than eagles. God just preserves some things in the eagle. Eagle doesn't marry twice. They marry just once, one partner. They say they have a partner all lifetime. They portray the witnesses of certain character of God's life. So when you say youth, renew like that of the eagles, he's talking about you coming into the unending flow of life everlasting. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So high life is youth life. Youthful life. So it's not an age thing. It's a status thing. It's an estate that we can come into. Glory to God. Amen. Take me back to John 6. Jesus is saying, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but the meat that what? The bread that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall what? Give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know, the way I see it is that you need meal for healing, for sealing. Meal, Father's meal, for Father's healing, for Father's sealing. I like that word, seal. So sealing is the end of the matter. When a soul has been crowned in loving kindness and tender mercies, meaning that soul has been healed completely from genetic expressions of sin. The soul now has the works of God. You can only bless God if you have works. Those works are the Father's works. So the Father's business first is to walk in you. When you walk in you, your walk will give him life. You can give him praise. To give God praise is to bear witness to life. Hallelujah. That word, bless the Lord, in the Hebrew is barak. It means give praise, worship. So I cannot worship. Because remember, the end of this walk is to be a temple. It's to be a worshiper. But God is a spirit. And they that worship him in spirit and in truth. He says, the Father seeks such worshippers. Those that can worship him. So to worship him means that you have been raised. You have his works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? So you can see, they connected works to meat. So the purpose of bread is to give you walk. What is walk? Commandments to walk in. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We want his workmanship. Glory to God. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Which God had ordained that we should what? Walk in them. So walk in them. So walking in them is how you bear what? Be a witness to the life. So you can see there's a connection. How can we what? Do the works of God. What do we do that we might walk the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God. This is the Father's work. This is the Father's business. This is his work. That you might believe on him whom he had sent. Believe on him whom he had sent. Then they said unto him, What sign showest thou then that we might see and believe thee? Eh? That what works? What does thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. So why are they connecting bread and work? That's it. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread. So that's where the idea of work came. So Jesus connected bread and work. So I can't come into works without bread. The will of the Father is tied to bread. The life of the Father is tied to bread. His bread is his will. It's the revelation of his life. Huh? So our fathers did eat manna in the desert. That is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. But my Father giveth you what? The true bread from heaven." Can we all say amen? Next verse, please. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth what? Life unto the world." Then they said unto me, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that what? Cometh unto me shall never hunger." Do we all believe this? So bread is the secret of cutting everlasting covenant for everlasting life. "And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Isaiah 55. "Oh, everyone that tested, ask your neighbor, do you thirst? Ask your neighbor, do you hunger? Everyone that tests." So those that want the Father's life, one prayer you must pray is that you hunger and you thirst. That is how you begin to gain entrance into the path of that life. Your greatest prayer every day, pray, "God, planting hunger, planting thirst. Everyone that tested, come ye to the waters." It includes hunger. It's hunger and thirst. They go together. You can see John 6. Eh? "And he that had no money, come ye." Amen. The only thing you need is your hunger. Tell your neighbor, say, "The only thing I need is my hunger." You don't need to come into this one by money. It says, "He that has no money, come ye." You can see by monetized. Imagine something you can buy without money. Is there nothing on earth that is not monetized? In the bread, you are entering into water. It's spirit. You are entering into spirit world. The word of God. Glory to God. Can we all say amen? So buy and eat. Eh? Eat bread on waters. Buy and eat. "Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." They're emphasizing it again so that you can hear very well. No wonder. So high life is free, but yet people will not buy. "Hey, what a high life, oh! I want your high life, oh! But people will not come for high life. Rather, we use money to buy debts. Me, I'm thinking that everybody on earth should want this message. When you hear it once, you just follow. But it's not like that. So they are saying again, buy wine and milk. They are talking about stages of the message. The message is wine, is milk, is honey. They say, buy wine and without money, without price. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Is this not the reality of many? "We spend money for that which is not bread. That which is not the will of God. That which cannot save your soul. That which cannot save you from all iniquities and all diseases. That which cannot break the attachment of sin on you. And your labor for that which satisfied not. Hearken diligently unto me." So this is the attitude to respond to high life. If you don't have this, you can't. High life. This is now the price for high life. You know, they have told you without money, without price. But they're not telling you the price. It comes with a cost. It's not physical cost. It will cost the soul. It will cost you something. Now, hacking how? Diligently. So I've noticed that to break into high life, you need some kind of diligence. It's not ordinary. It's hacking. When they use hacking, it's not just hacking. Hacking. That's how you respond to God. Hacking diligently unto me. And eat that which is good. Eat that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in what? Fatness. That fatness is riches. Riches of God. You are fat. You are rich in God. Incline your ear. And come what? Unto me. So you can see, all of the cost has to do with attitude of response to the commandments of high life. They are all attitudinal response. Your ability to hearken. Your ability to incline. I like the word inclination. Mass, angle of inclination. Incline. Your ear. So there's a way you posture yourself when commandments of high life are being taught. It's called incline your ear and come unto me. Yeah, and your soul shall live. Now, how will your soul live? Because you incline. You incline. So there's a way your soul must posture itself when the word is being taught. May God grant you understanding. I tell people, I say, when you're coming for meetings, pray. Come prayed up. The most wicked devils, they gather around the environment of life. Yes, they are not. They gather around the environment. The parable of the sower was a parable for people that are pressing into life. It's not for unbelievers. Maybe that's a revelation for some of us. All those people you saw, they're in the kingdom. All of them. All the stages of hearts. They are all in the kingdom. At different levels in the kingdom. The greatest warfare, where spirits want to concentrate their assault and destruction, is where life is being taught. Yeah, and you not understand. Yeah, and you not believe. Yeah, and you'll be distracted. Yeah, you not incline yourself. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Yeah, and your soul shall live. So you can see emphasizing hearing, inclining. And I will make what? With you. So covenant comes by hearing. That hearing comes by walking. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. So when you are hearing, you are walking. When you are walking, what are they doing? Gradually cutting covenant. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What even the sure mercies of David. Can we all say amen? Take me back to John. John 6:48. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And not die. I know that we'll come into that stage physically, but this is not talking about the body. It's talking about the soul. Because even Jesus fell physically. His body fell. So you know that Jesus was talking beyond this. He's talking about coming into a life that does not die. And there is a life that does not know death. Can we all say amen? I am the living bread and came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh. Which I will give, what? Not just for to you, but I will give for the life of the world. So it means that the world, all men, can have access to God's life through the Son. So the Son custod life for inheritance for all men. Can we say Jesus? Jesus. So Jesus is the hope for all mankind. That's the reason why we must preach the gospel. A lot of people don't know. That they can partake of all that is in God through our Lord Jesus. So so the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What Jesus was talking about is what? His bread. He's talking about his doctrine. Eh? Very, very, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So, the secret of cutting everlasting covenant is the table of the Son of God. It's his bread and his cup. The Father's life is a life that you can access in the communion of the Father, from his bread to his cup. So, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, journey from the word of God to the testimony of Jesus, you complete a cycle of life that cannot be taken away from you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, has eternal, everlasting life. And I will raise him up at that last day. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth how? In me and I in him. So it means that the whole body of law and testimony is on that table. This is how they'll make the people of God. Can we all say amen? As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall also live by me. When we say new covenant, that's what Jesus embodied. He embodied it, brought it to us, taught by his apostles, put in scriptures as an heritage. So for generation to generation, the way can be made open to all men. Now, there are generations that set and fought men and blocked the way. It's inside scripture. The way to the Father's life is inside scripture. But Satan has fought it, blinded the church. But now, you know, like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. It says we have an holy calling. How did he put it? 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 9. From verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now, everybody say now, is what? Manifest. Made manifest by the appearing. What is that appearing? The opening up of the paths. The discovery of the paths to life everlasting. The declaration of the precept and the way to the tree of life. You know, that way to the tree of life is a way of much warfare. But when they open it, it can be accessed. The commandments can be taught. The life can be walked in. He says, who has abolished death and brought what? Life and immortality. To light through the gospel. So light communicates the ability to have life and immortality. This is full life. Can we say amen? This is the life of the living and true God. So the new covenant is summarized in God opening life to a people. A people walking in life, embracing life, obeying the commandments of life, and inheriting life. For this is the covenant I'm making with the house of Israel after those who say the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. But this is our promise. God will be our God. God will be at home with us. Some of you still feel that somewhere it's as if God is still far. Yes. He's still far at times. I woke up this morning. I thank God, but I feel that sense of void somewhere. I don't want God to look like far. I want God to be here. I want God to be in me and I in him. I know that is the promise. That is the promise that promised us. So they are saying a time will come. God is not going to be far. God will be fully in us. That is high life, brethren. God is fully in man. Fully in man. Fully in man. Fully rested in man. Fully settled in man. Fully living in man. Fully walking in man. Demonstrating his life. I will be their God and they shall be to me a people. Verse 11. So this is our prayer. They shall teach no man, not every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For how shall know me? So, you know, there's a kind of leadership that God is raising for this work. He takes Davids to do this work. There are dispensations that glory, leaders that glory in having something that the saints does not have. I am telling you, Davids of the New Testament, their greatest desire is that God be made known. The purpose of leadership in this order is to serve you to know God. So there will not be any mystery I know that you will not know. There's not be any mystery you know that people follow you will not know. Everything will be made bare. The God of the Father will become the God of the children. So that the children themselves will become fathers. So even though there will be in generations, when you say greatest to the least, it's in their generations. There will be in generations. But they will all know me. That is it. God wants a people that knows him. You will be at home in them. They will know him. Say, you know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. How will God know? It's not like God will close his eye to it. It means that this declaration of life will blot it all out. So this house will know nothing but God's life. Free from corruption. Free from sin. Free from diseases of the soul. Free from the power of the grave. Sons of God demonstrating high life. Lift up your hands and begin to thank the Lord. This is just a declare. God says, declare high life. Make it lovable. Make it seeable. Make it achievable. That's what the Holy Ghost has done this morning. Can we thank the Lord? Hallelujah. God is raising a new generation. God is raising a new generation. Hallelujah. Can we thank him? Let's thank him. Let us thank him. Let us thank him. Let us thank him. Let us thank him.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.